The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This episode is brought to you by betonline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. They have you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. So head on over to betonline.ag or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's right, you'll get a 50% bonus on your first deposit. That's betonline.ag.
On this episode of Hashtag Lakers Podcast, we cover the first two preseason games, what the Lakers will do with Ariza out for 8 weeks, and will Frank Vogel start AD at the five?
Yo, what's up, and welcome to the Hashtag Lakers Podcast, presented by betonline.ag. I'm Yo Lagazzo. I'm joined by my brother John Webb, and we also have McKay Westbrook on. So Lakers played two preseason games so far. We lost both of them. So I want to get your reactions to these first two preseason games.
I didn't really expect a whole lot coming into the preseason. I knew our intentions
yes,
were...
Yes, you did. You wanted them to win.
Yeah, I mean, of course, you always want to see the Lakers come out and get a win and be immediately dominant. But I mean, I take the preseason games for what they are. They're basically exhibition games. They're games where the new guys are going to go out and try and earn minutes and prove themselves. You know, some of these new people on the roster, we want to see what they're all about. People like Austin Reeves, who I've actually been very impressed with his ability to play, make, score from, you know, he's got range, score from deep. He's a very good defensive player from what I've seen so far. So I think he's very promising. So I think even though that we've come out and we've lost these first two games, that's not really the important thing about preseason games. We're gathering info. Malik Monk has been absolutely incredible and has impressed me. I think he's going to end up playing a much larger role on this Lakers squad than I initially thought, if he can continue to stay consistent.
Let's go back to Reeves, McKay. I don't know, John, if you have any comments on Reeves, because I want to kind of touch on him. But what about you, John? Do you have any comments on Reeves?
I mean, it's what we said about Reeves. You know, the hustle and the effort are there, and you know, he's going to do his thing. He's going to be natural and instinctive on the ball. Someone who's actually impressed me is Shondi Brown. You know, I think he's really making a case of, you know, picking up a roster spot. Well, at least a two-way roster spot, right? Like he's doing really well. And yeah, I'm just excited to get more data, as McKay was saying, on this team.
Yeah, I think for sure. I think on your point on Shondi Brown, I think he is out of the training camp invites, right? I think that he has been the most consistent and the most impressive for that two-way spot that's been missing after, obviously we got Hillbilly Kobe now on the roster as the 14th spot. Going back to him, McKay, you were talking about his defense. I thought his defensive IQ. I know he was on our pod and he was talking about IQ. It was just displayed whenever he was out there. One example of that obviously was when against the Nets, he just had good defense on at this one position. It might have been I don't remember who it was honestly, but it was a player on the Nets, and he was trying to he was penetrating to the rim, right? And it was a one-on-one situation, and just you saw his IQ, Reeves, his IQ in terms of positioning, sort of the understanding, the anticipation of all of that, the quickness and his footwork, right, to get in front of his man, and what led to that was a steal, and it kind of reminded me of Caruso. It kind of reminded me of that one time Kuzma did the same thing to someone named Kawhi Leonard. So I just thought that just great defensive IQ for Austin. But cut you off, McKay, and why don't you go continue?
All good. I mean, I think that kind of pointed out in my mind, more specifically what it was that I saw in him, and it was quickness, overall quickness in his decision making and in his ability to do things. He was very quickly able to see the court and make plays. There was one play where he was able to look up ahead on a fast break very quickly and throw the ball over to Malik Monk for a quick dunk. On his pull-up three in that Nets game, he did it confidently and he did it quickly. He didn't show any kind of hesitation. So those things are very good check marks, good things to see early on with him. I think that was one of the things that helped Caruso to fit in quickly and to be noticed, is he came in confident. He came in like he knew what he was doing, and he fit. I feel like Austin Reeves is one of those guys that fits. So we'll see what kind of playing time he ends up getting here as a rookie with so much talent around him. But I think he can absolutely be a solid contributor come sometime here in the future.
Yeah, he's definitely making all the right moves, right? His recognition, and the effort. Like Austin, sometimes you could tell what he's thinking and he does it. It doesn't always work out, right? But as a coach, man, you gotta love the effort and actually seeing the whole floor. He recognizes it, even though it doesn't generate into a steal or a actual stat. You could tell he's in the right position, and that's key. That's key if you're gonna be a role player on this team.
Yeah, man. I think he's gonna. I don't know how many minutes he's gonna have during the regular season, but I suspect that with Ariza out, and we'll talk more about this, that he might get some more minutes there. But I wanna, McKay, you talked a little bit about Malik Monk. You keep calling him Malik, and it's funny because that's from KOTOR, right? Malik from
Yeah,
KOTOR.
I can't help it.
I know, dude. I do the same thing, man. Like, I'm like, oh, Malik, dude, that's that guy. But going back to Malik Monk, dude, these last two games, he's racked up 33 points, 13 from 23 shooting, 7 from 7 of 13 from three pointers in just 42 minutes. I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't know, man. He can be a starter if he wasn't on this team, obviously. I don't know if he'll start. Maybe we can get into that discussion, but he just has so much in his bag. I've tweeted in both games on this, just the you know, just all of the skill set that he has to pull up three, the knowledge of certain offensive actions, like the Spain pick and roll action, the high ball screen into a step back three kind of stuff, the catch and shoot, obviously, you know, the dribble handoffs, the crossover. He did this one crossover against the Suns where he faked to the left and then went right, like really quickly. And it was in a blink of an eye. And, it, you know, he caught the defender going to one side, and he got to the rim as quick as he could. And great finisher. I mean, also great playmaker. He has the ability to, there was one play where he was setting up this pick and roll with AD, and it was just beautiful to kind of see that and give AD a shot right there in the paint, where, you know, he's comfortable taking that floater, and he did it over eight. And so I just think that Malik Monk, I think he's great. I think he's been the most impressive so far, from the young Lakers, you know, group.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. You know, he came in, he's already dialed in. He knows what he's got to prove on such a stacked Lakers squad. And he's coming out swinging. He wants to show what he's got in the bag. He wants to show his skill set. And I think he's done a fantastic job of that so far. I agree with you. He's been the most impressive one so far in my eyes as well over these last two games. I look forward to seeing what else he's got, but so far it's looking good.
Snap judgment. Malik Monk is our sixth man.
Agreed.
He's going to be our sixth man.
Sixth
right
man
now,
of the year.
Maybe. I mean, potentially. Yeah. But right now, he looks to be everything advertised on offense and everything advertised on defense, which is suspect. Out in the perimeter. Yeah, you look, listen, you can't let campaign drive past you like that every time. So I hate to burst the bubble a little bit, but he needs to improve his defense. He can do a lot of things for us, but reliability right now, you know, he's grading at a sort of a B for me just because of the defense. But yeah, offensively, he's a starter. Defensively, he's not.
That's true. Like, that was one of the things, the drawbacks for me in terms of, all right, Ariza is going to be out, right? So maybe Malik can start because he just showed so much. But I think Vogel likes his defense, right? And so he just needs to clean up a lot of those stuff. One of these things that I saw was just the pick and roll defense. It, like, Austin Reeves is great at doing this, and he does it almost all the time. So when you're defending a pick and roll or defending the pick and roll initiator, right? What you have to do is you have to peel off and try to put your body on the guy that's rolling now, right? The screener. But Malik, for some reason, doesn't do this, and he just sits there. I don't know what he does, but he's not putting his hands up. He's not putting his body to kind of contest the rolling big, and you know, it creates havoc for the defense and great opportunities for the offense. So I just think that I think that that's one area where he needs to improve. And I think that's what's holding him back into that starting role. But
yeah, he's going to get coached up.
I think he will. And hopefully it'll happen soon he's a quick learner. And we'll see what happens there. But right now, you're right. I think I agree with both of you that he's going to be that sixth man. What do you guys think about THT?
Look, THT seems to be pushing it a bit. Although you can, again, see the flashes of brilliance, but over dribbling and watching, you know, it's it's lackluster for me. Like I saw him, you know, sort of explode in the third quarter, but all those mental mistakes, you know, kind of grade him lower for me.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely hasn't particularly impressed, but I think he's trying to figure things out right now. With a lot of these guys leaving the roster from last year, he's got a more potentially, I guess, significant role that he's going to play with the Lakers. Should he earn those minutes, you know? And I think he's trying to figure out how he can become that more significant piece, and how he can, rather than just be one of these role players that comes out there, be a leader on this Lakers squad. And, you know, that takes a little bit of getting used to and learning and figuring things out. You know, he's still a very young player. His skill set is still kind of raw. He's in the process of refining those skills. Same as Malik Monk. I think Malik Monk might be a little bit more refined at this point, but I mean, I'm not too worried about THT. We know what he's capable of. These are those,
right,
those preseason games that don't matter as much, and it's the right time to figure things out. You know, he already knows that he's got a place on the team, and he's figuring things out. He's a very fast learner from what we've seen in the past. And so it's great for him to come out and make these mistakes, use it as a learning experience. I hope he can figure things out quickly and translate good things into the regular season.
Yeah, I think he will. But honestly, the key to that, guys, is Anthony Davis, right? Anthony Davis, for me, like, showed flashes, but I was honestly a little disappointed. Like, when he talks about the team's offense being way behind, I can think he's mostly talking about himself, because the offensive sets we've run or are running so far hinges on AD. And it's mostly a sort of pacing, a timing thing for him. I think we're going to have to establish where to slot AD, whether the 4 or 5, early on in every game or against every team. So the supporting cast, you know, a la THT, can play their ground game, right? So once Anthony Davis is established, I feel like all the other players will eventually follow.
Yeah, I just think for AD, I think he's still trying to get used to his bigger body.
His buffer body.
I don't know if you guys saw how Dragon Ball Super, right? So Goku turns Super Saiyan God, and he's like, holy cow, like, how do I control this thing? Like, this is like, he's just all over the place, and he can't figure it out until, you know, he practices it with his new body a little more. So I think, you know, maybe I'm joking here, but maybe that's a little bit of what
80s in God mode right now.
No, I don't know if he's in God mode right now, but I think it's preseason, obviously, and he's obviously coming off an injury. So there's a lot of factors going on there. I agree with you, John Webb, that a little bit disappointed, but I don't know, it's preseason. We've only seen him play a few times, a few quarters, right? And I'm sure it'll get a lot better when we see Russell Westbrook and LeBron James on the court with him.
Oh, for sure. For sure. It changes the whole dynamic.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're coming off a season, like you said, where he was injured. He's still getting his reps in, trying to get that consistency, that rhythm back in. But, you know, the bright side of that for me is that he's moving well, that he's not playing like he's injured, because, you know, looking back at the playoffs of last year, that very well could have been what cost us a championship, is that injury. You know, we were beating the Phoenix Suns up until that point. And if AD is looking good, he's looking healthy, I'm not worried about him, his ability to play basketball. I know he can go out there and he can ball it up. I'm just worried about him continuing to look healthy, to move well. And if he does that, everything else is going to fall into place.
I completely agree. I completely agree with that. And I mean, I think all of these preseason games, when we don't see the big three on the court, or you know, Vogel trying out that big three with the rest of the guys, you know, I think you have to put a little bit of an asterisk on it and say, all right, well, we're kind of just figuring things out, right? And one of the things, obviously, is the defense that we need to. I feel like defense is one of the things that we're going to have to work on, and that might be the theme going forward, and we'll see about that. But why don't we go ahead and take a break here, and when we come back, I do want to talk a little bit about a discussion that's been happening on Lakers Twitter about the starting lineup, and so particularly what people have said about that. But let's take a break, so stay tuned, and we'll talk to you guys soon. Welcome back to the Hashtag Lakers Podcast. I'm here with John Weatherman McKay. So there's this discussion that's been going on Lakers Twitter, particularly on what a few people have said about it. Like Frank Vogel is saying that he wants to keep a consistent starting lineup in the regular season, and he's really just experimenting this preseason on that lineup. Obviously, we haven't seen LeBron and Russ yet. But like we saw last week, we saw from Shams reported that AD would likely start at the five, with Bron, Ellington, Russ, and Ariza starting with him. It was more of a quote unquote small ball lineup, right? So you would think that would be it, but obviously we saw Ariza. That news about Ariza, he's now out for 8 weeks after an ankle procedure, and you know, I'll get back to that in a little bit here. But there was also something said about Lakers reporter Mike Trudell. He's reported that some members of the team are still preferring the team's sort of quote unquote big look, to have AD at the four, maybe DJ, Dwight Howard at the five at center. Even on ESPN, the you know, Dave McMiniman also indicated from his discussions that he's also seen or heard that maybe sometimes you'll see AD at the four more times than not, or at the five, or I guess you'll see more minutes there at the him at the four. You know, a few things were said. Vogel also said that one of the drawbacks that he sees in AD at the five is the team's lack of size. Obviously, small ball, right? And particularly with Trevor Ariza now with that injury, and he says that basically how that could affect rebounding on both ends of the floor, you know, there may be a little bit more hesitancy to start AD at the five. So anyway, there's a lot of information there, a lot to pick from, and I want to talk all about it. But let's sort of start with how there seems to be already some hesitancy to commit to the five, for AD to be at the five position. And with AD, with Ariza injured, right? I feel like there's a lot that this could really tilt the scales for opting to have those two big lineups where AD is at the four and we have DJ or Dwight at the five. In my opinion, I think Ariza, why he was there in the starting lineup was because one of the stronger elements of his game is rebounding, defensive rebounding. I think him and Russ and LeBron would have been great at getting to the basket and grabbing those defensive rebounds to help sort of counter that weakness that Vogel was talking about in small ball lineups. But what do you guys think? Like, what do you guys think? This is, you know, Ariza's injury, all this hesitancy. Do you think this is going to Are we going to see more AD at the four now because of this? What are your thoughts on that?
I think we're absolutely going to see AD at the four a lot more. You know, that's the position that he likes to see, or that he likes to play. I've expressed in the past that I think he's actually better at the five, just because he's such a skilled big man, and there's not really a lot of people who can match up with him down low. But we picked up both DJ and Dwight Howard, who are excellent defenders and are great around the basket. I don't think that there's a lot of reason to force AD down at the five when he doesn't enjoy it as much, and Frank Vogel sees it as a negative in some ways. Depending on matchups, we could see him down there. You know, if Dwight and DJ are getting absolutely worked, I could see them make that shift. But for the most part, I think it's a good move to push him over to the four. LeBron James, you know, he can play wherever he wants on the floor. He can slide over to the three. And I think that actually makes a great dynamic in terms of being able to spread the floor. They're both buckets from three, along with Wayne Ellington. And then, you know, if you're able to spread the floor like that, it opens up the possibility for some of these guys who are great cutters and are good slashers to make it to the basket. Russell Westbrook, I think he'll thrive in that kind of environment. So I think that's probably what we'll see. At least that's what I would imagine. I think that's the reason why we went and we picked up both DeAndre and Dwight Howard. And you know, with that said, that's an extremely skilled and an extremely dominant and I just think intimidating front court. You know, you're playing potentially as starters LeBron, AD, and Dwight Howard all down low, three Hall of Famers. That's what I think would be the lineup going forward, especially with Ariza out. But we'll see. You know, come a couple months from now, we could see him pushed back up into the lineup. I think it'll have to do a lot with what our success is with that lineup.
Yeah, I have a lot of thoughts on this. I mean, listen, what was the initial reason why we wanted AD at the five, right? It's because Russell Westbrook and LeBron James together on the same court has an interesting dynamic. It's, you know, about what you were saying. It's about spacing and which offensive actions and sets we're going to utilize. A big key to it is transition offense and pacing. So AD can run the floor better than a traditional five. He can run the floor better than Dwight Howard or DeAndre Jordan. What I see Frank envisioning are defensive stops, then outlet passes to a streaking, speedy lineup. You know, obviously Russell Westbrook and LeBron James with their court vision play a role here. And, you know, just accuracy and just that feel for that type of pace. So in terms of when we get into half court, right, I can really see us switching between our five out sets that we love to run and really running a lot of horns this year. You know, especially strong handoffs where you basically have LeBron and AD filling the bottom of that V that the horns create, and you got the wings. You mentioned it, McKay, right? Maybe Ellington, maybe Bazemore, Malik Monk at the corner slots, and just Russell using those picks to navigate the floor, or you can have LeBron running point. If we're consistently hitting those corner jumpers, this is going to be close to impossible to stop. But, you know, this isn't a surprise. We always knew that Vogel was the type of coach who preferred a consistent lineup throughout the year and adjusting only when necessary. So I think this will change a lot, you know, maybe a little once he gauges how LeBron, AD, and Russ are together on the floor. It's early, but that doesn't mean that what we see so far in the preseason isn't telling.
Yeah, John, I think you're right about Vogel trying, you know, wanting to keep it consistent, and I think that he's going to opt to do the two big lineup more often than not, especially like you said with Arisa gone. I think it just makes sense. That's what he's always gone with, right? And McKay, you were alluding to AD not wanting to play at the five. So, you know, I think we might see that, right? And that's what all of these conversations and that's what, you know, the reporters are saying might end up happening now with Arisa being injured. But I do see, If they do start, you know, keep AD at the five, I do see potentially Bazemore. I think Bazemore would be the best player to sort of replace Ariza there. He was, aside from Russell Westbrook and Ariza, he's one of the remaining guards, one of the best defensive rebounders in the guard position. So I think he just fits perfectly there to sort of mitigate that small ball weakness that Vogel was talking about. I think that also one of the reports that came out in practice this week was that Bazemore was, Vogel said that Bazemore was one of the best defenders on the team so far. So I think, you know, if they are going to do a five, you know, AD at the five, I think Bazemore would be the perfect replacement for Ariza for the time being. But if they do have like DJ or DeAndre Jordan out there or Dwight out there at the five, I think the like you were talking about matchups. I forgot who one of you was talking about matchups. I think that would really only work if you don't have a big on the other team that could pick and pop, because just defensively, DJ and Dwight like to drop coverage and they're not great at closing out to the perimeter. I think Dwight is better than DeAndre Jordan, but I think they're better at the drop coverage sort of defense when they're guarding a traditional big. And that's like really also Vogel's bread and butter in terms of defense, defensive scheme. So hopefully it'll be dependent on the matchups, but knowing Vogel, I think he's going to try and stick with a consistent starting five, and that might, like I said, that might be 80 at the four.
Yeah, I think that starting five will probably be pretty consistent, and then things will get changed up during the game according to what they need. I foresee just like what you said, in these against these teams that play more small ball, that maybe we won't use DJ and Dwight as much, and we switch up to kind of a smaller ball rotation. I definitely see Bazemore out there as one of those key defenders. We lost some great defenders over the off season in both Kuzma and the White Mamba, you know. So he's definitely going to be needed, and I think he'll be a solid part of that bench rotation. But yeah, you know, we'll see. I think we've got our options anyway. You know, we've got definitely the bigs to play big ball, and we've got some of those smaller wing defenders that can go out there. It'll definitely be better once we get Trevor Ariza back. I've always loved his level of defense as well. But I think we've got our bases pretty well covered.
Yeah, so this might be a weird take, right? But Shondi Brown, right? He is a defensive-minded player, a defensive-minded guy. So for the 8 weeks, right, why not slot a two-way player in there? You know, good build, you know, strong body, physical, strong, athletic, quick. Remember during summer league when he destroyed his sneakers guarding someone?
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, he went full Zion, right? And you know, his sneaker explodes and he gets back up and he keeps guarding the person. Yeah, I know it's crazy, But that's the type of player you need in the starting lineup. That's the type of player you need guarding people at the perimeter.
But so can he rebound? I don't remember.
Oh, he can. I mean, he can jump.
Obviously, can rebound. Yeah.
But here's the thing. You don't want Shondi rebounding. You want LeBron or Russell Westbrook rebounding, and you want Shondi running the floor for
you
the
just want that help. You just want that help.
I just want the defense. I just want a point defender.
But Reeves in there then, the hillbilly Kobe.
Either one. I want defense. But listen, I kind of go back a little bit, right? With AD, right, the West has a sizable, like a plethora of mobile centers, right? You think Jokic, Kat, Gobert, Ayton. Then don't forget, you know, you got Valanciunas and Mavericks, Porzingis, right? There's a ton of good starting centers in the West. The question is, if you're Frank Vogel, how comfortable are you with Anthony Davis, who was sidelined most of last year due to injury, banging the low post with those guys on a nightly/weekly basis? Right, those matchups and where they stand during the course of the season will really determine whether AD starts at the 4 or 5 on a nightly basis. Because you don't want, say, for example, you know, you're playing Jokic one game and you're starting AD, and then next game, right, maybe it's a back-to-back, you're playing against like Gobert or Ayton. Like, you don't want that. So I think he's just gonna play it by ear until we get the lineup set.
Yeah, man. I it's going to be interesting, especially what he does here now with the Ariza news out, what he does here in these next few preseason games, the remaining few that we have, and sort of the lineups and the rotations that he puts out to try and test this out before the regular season starts. I'm curious to see who he picks and what lineup. You know, the style of lineup we're gonna have. Is it gonna be the 2 big, or is it gonna be AD at the 5? So I'm curious to see all of that. But guys, I think that does it for today. Guys, you can catch us on Apple Podcast, Spotify, and many other listening platforms. Do us a favor and head on over to Apple Podcast, subscribe, and give us a 5-star review. We'd appreciate the follows and all the reviews. It'll help us continue to produce this show. You can also follow us on Twitter at #LakerPod. And on Instagram at #Lakers. Guys, with that said, have a great day, root for the Lakers, and we'll talk to you guys next time.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.